Well-known speaker and author Charles Swindoll wrote some words when he was trying to deal with the grief when he lost his father in death. He simply called it my dad. He wrote these words. He said, "My dad died last night. He left like he lived, quietly, graciously, with dignity. Without demands or harsh words or even a frown, he surrendered himself, a tired, frail, humble gentleman, into the waiting arms of his Savior. Death, selfish and cursed enemy of man, won another battle. As I stroked his hair from his forehead and kissed him goodbye, 100 boyhood memories played around in my head. When I learned to ride a bike, he was there. When I wrestled with the multiplication tables, he was quick with his quick wit, he helped erase the hassle. When I discovered the adventure of driving a car, he was near encouraging me. When I got my first job delivering newspapers, he informed me how to increase my subscriptions and win the prize. It worked. When I mentioned a young woman I had fallen in love with, he pulled me aside and he talked straight about being responsible for her welfare and her happiness. When I did a hitch in the military, the discipline that I learned from him helped make the transition so much easier. From him, I learned to catch shrimp, how to gig flounder and catch trout and redfish, how to open oyster shells and fix crab gumbo and chili and popcorn and make rafts out of old inner tubes and gunny sacks. I was continually amazed at his ability to do things that, like tie fragile mantles on the old Coleman lantern, keep a fire going in the rain, play the harmonica with his hands behind his back, and keep 3 strong-willed kids from tearing down the house. Last night, I realized I had him to thank for my deep love for America and for knowing how to tenderly care for my wife and for laughing at impossibilities. And for some of the habits I have picked up, like approaching people with a positive spirit rather than a negative one, staying with a task until it is finished, taking care of my personal belongings, keeping my shoes shined, speaking up rather than mumbling, respecting authority and standing alone if necessary in support of my personal convictions rather than to giving in to more popular opinions. For these things, I am deeply indebted to the man who raised me. Certain smells and sounds now instantly remind me of my dad: oyster stew, the ocean breeze, the nostalgic whine of harmonica, a camping lantern and white gas, car polish, fun songs from the 30s and 40s, freshly mowed grass, a shrill whistle from a father to his kids around supper time, an Old Spice aftershave. Admittedly, much of my dad's instruction was indirect, my model rather than by explicit statement. I do not recall his overt declarations of love as clearly as I do his demonstrations of it. His life revolved around my mother, the darling and delight of his life. Of that I am sure. When she left over 9 years ago, something of him died as well. And so to her, he has been joined, and they are joined with the Lord in the closest possible companionship one can imagine. In this, my sister, my brother, and I find greatest comfort and are now forever with the Lord, eternally freed from the pain and the aging and death, secure in Jesus Christ our Lord, absent from the body and at home with him and with each other. He said, "Last night I said goodbye. I'm still trying to believe it. You'd think that it would be easy since his illness had persisted for over 3 years. How well I remember the Sunday he suffered that first series of strokes as I was preaching. God granted him several more years to teach us many more things that we take for granted. He leaves in his legacy a well-marked Bible I treasure, a series of feelings that I need to deepen my roots, and 1,000 memories that comfort me as I replace denial with acceptance and praise. See, I await heaven's gate opening in the not-so-distant future. So do other Christians who anxiously await Christ's return. Most of them anticipate hearing the soft strum of a harp or the sharp blast of a trumpet. Not me. I will hear the nostalgic whine of a harmonica held in the hands of the man who died last night. Or did he? The memories are as fresh as the morning sunshine. Today we're going to conclude our series that we started on Mother's Day, The Living Christ and His Concern for the Family. And this morning I want us to look at and spend some time speaking about the Father's role in the family. If you want to, you can join me. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. If you want to look there in your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen here for us here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. There we go. And this is what it says. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because we had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be burdened to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. See, Paul says here that he is concerned for the Thessalonian church as a father would be for his own children. He used his comparison to help them understand the special affection he had for them, his willingness to give his life for them, his ceaseless exhorting them and encouraging them, and his concern for them that they would walk in a manner worthy of God. There are many things we could say about the roles of fathers, but I've chosen this morning to talk about three of them. And I want us to look at them here. A father is to provide certain things for his family. And the first thing, if you want to look in your notes there this morning, the first thing he needs to provide is security. See, earlier in our home, once we had become Christians, I remember being told these words by Christians who taught us. He said, the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. So growing up in my parents' home, I don't think that the thought ever crossed my mind that they might ever divorce. I never saw them fight, though there were many times when they didn't agree with each other. I never experienced the fear that one of them might leave. Only now do I realize, when compared to many children growing up today in a culture where one out of every two marriages end in divorce, I had a level of security that was very special. Today, I find it easy to trust. I am generally optimistic about the future. I know this world is full of problems, but I am fairly confident against them. Usually I have enough emotional strength left over after dealing with the issues of my own life to help a few others as well. See, I'm not saying these things to call attention to myself. I say these things to acknowledge that I owe a debt of gratitude to my parents, and especially today, since it's Father's Day, to my dad. He stayed with my mother and my sister and my brother. I know that times had to be tough, but he did not give up on us. He didn't chase off after selfish pursuits. He stayed with his family. Fathers, more than any other human on the face of the earth, it depends on you to provide security in your family. You need to assure them in both deed, like Jesus has done for us, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, over in Hebrews. I don't mean just financial security either. I mean the kind of, I will stick with you no matter what, security that is constant even in times of financial hardship. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ has never abandoned his church, though she has given him pains and hurts through the years. Want to do something constructive for your family today, dads? Go home and tell them you will make them a promise and you will never leave them. According to the Bible, fathers are responsible for the security of their families. Consider the role of father's father. A father is also to provide a second thing, and that is teaching. The responsible for religious instruction in the home is given to fathers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. When I say the responsibility for religious instruction lies with fathers, I don't mean that fathers are the only ones that can teach the children. I mean that the fathers have the final responsibility to make sure that they're taught and what is being taught to their children. A father may do a good amount of the teaching himself, or he may delegate some of that to his wife. Most fathers today delegate academic responsibility to a group of people who are trained to educate your children. They're professional school teachers. A number of fathers take advantage of the public and private instruction that comes from the local church in such things as preaching, teaching of classes, special activities like Vacation Bible School that's coming up next week. We do need to recognize, though, that none of these helps, no matter how effective that these helps might be, free a father from his responsibility to teach his children. Dad, you cannot expect the school or the church to raise your kids. In their book, Healing the Wounded Spirit, John and Paula Stanford make a good point, and this is what they say. Sunday schools never existed before the 18th century. We do not say that they should be discontinued. They need to be strengthened and improved. But parents are not to relegate all teaching to Sunday schools and thus abdicate their responsibilities. Sunday school can be one delegated arm of parental teaching of the mind and soul, but children's spirits learn more from life than from rote. What children learn in Sunday school and church may have little or great consequence, depending solely on how the personal spirit is nurtured and taught by experiencing life in the home. See, hugs teach, kisses instruct, discipline forms, reproof harnesses rampaging energies, admonition builds checks upon emotions, instruction forms guidelines and channels for the flow of energies and emotions. Without early teaching in the home, Sunday schools merely weave inconsequential dolies over volcanoes. See, dads, if your children grow up and rebel, don't blame the church. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame the public schools. Each of these can have an effect, yes, but the responsibility is first and foremost yours. A study mentioned in Leadership Magazine disclosed that if both mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of the children remain faithful in their profession of faith. If only dad attends regularly, 55% remain faithful. If only mom attends, 15% remain faithful. If neither attends regularly, only 6% remain faithful. If we can trust that study, and if that study is accurate, if responsibility is left solely to the church, then we can only expect your child, only about 6%, to remain faithful to the Lord if it's only dependent upon the church. But if you dads take your responsibility seriously, and your wife does too, their chance rises to a whopping 72%. Dad's responsibility for the instruction and the discipline of the children belongs to you. You will be the one who answers to God for their nurture and their admonition. Finally, in considering the role of fathers, a father is also to provide something happened. He is to provide love. That's our third one. In the book, Parents Deserve to Know, a contributor provided his description of some homes. He says, a home. Why do I need a home? See, I was born in a hospital. I was educated in a college. I was courted in an automobile, and I was married in a church. I get my food at the delicatessen and restaurant. I spend my mornings at golf, my afternoons at the club, and my evenings dancing or at the movies. When I die, I shall be buried from the undertakers. Why do I need a home? All I need is a garage. See, there is one thing a home can provide like nothing else, and that is love. See, home should be a place where I am loved no matter what might happen. No matter how badly I may have messed up, home is a place of refuge, a place where I know people care about me and I care about them. In the parable of the prodigal son, the younger brother thought that he could find what he wanted outside of the home, away from dad, away from the family, a life away from home. But when he lost everything, including his dignity, his thoughts returned to his father and his home. Dad, you have a special opportunity to make your home a place that is a refuge, a place where family members know they will always be safe and loved. It depends greatly on your attitude, though. See, you have to work on it. It's far easier to be a grouch and come home and yell and grumble at your family members. Family life has its trials, but if we're not careful, you'll find it that you're always being grumpy and grouchy, and nobody wants to be around you. There are some fathers who are like that. See, there are trials when children are small. Someone had said this about children. He says, someone has described a baby as a digestive apparatus with a loud noise on one end and no responsibility on the other end. A young couple went to a restaurant out for dinner. At the entrance, the host was asking the customers, smoking or non-smoking? When the couple arrived with their fussing baby, she said instead, screaming or non-screaming? There are trials when children are also in the middle years. Dad and mom and two boys were about 200 miles on their trip, and dad finally had enough. Ever since we left home, he said, the boys have been picking at each other, yelling names, and tearing up the back seat of the car. I'm putting an end to it right now. He slammed on the brakes. He pulled the car off the side of the road. He jerked the sons out of the car and spanked them soundly. I don't want to hear another word out of either one of you for the next 30 minutes, he shouted. Not one word. The two boys sat still and quiet for at least 30 minutes until one meekly said, Daddy, do you remember when you spanked me? Well, one of my shoes came off. There are trials in the teenage years. A teacher, after correcting class papers, remarked to the teenage student, I don't see how one person can make so many mistakes on his homework. The student replied, well, it just wasn't one person working on this homework. Dad helped. It's so easy, dads, to fall into the trap of just being a grouch that shows up at the end of the day, makes a bunch of noise, then hides himself behind the newspaper or the computer screen. You must not let that happen. See, you know, even if you aren't a father in a biological sense, you can still help fill an important role in a child's life. In his book, Say It With Love, Howard Hendricks writes this. He says, humanly speaking, I might never have been saved if someone had said with love to me when I was 9 years old, he said, I was a terror. I was out playing marbles one day, and there was this man named Walt who came along, and he invited me to Sunday school. There's one thing that I did not want to have anything to do with, and that was anything that had the word school in it. So he made me another proposition instead, one that sounded a lot better to me. He says, you want to play some marbles with me? And after he had wiped me out in a couple of games of marble, he inquired, you want to learn to play the game better? By the time he had taught me how to play marbles over the next few days, he built such a relationship with me, I would have gone anywhere he had suggested. You know what that meant? I ended up at Sunday school class with a dozen other boys, many of whom he magnetized in the very same way. Of the 13 boys in that class, 9 were from broken homes, 5 were Roman Catholics. 11 of those boys ended up in vocational Christian work. Thank God for a man like Walt who still knows how to show love. Children need the love of a father, but we all know that many of them never get it. If you're a man with no children of your own, then there are plenty out there who you could find love to. Newspaper columnist Ann Landers received this rather shocking letter from a person you and I probably would never listen to. And this is what he wrote. Dear Ann Landers, I'm writing from behind bars. The charge, a felony, child molesting. Not a pleasant subject, I realize, but this letter is not written to be pleasant or to gain sympathy. This is what he says. You've never seen me in the parks or near playgrounds looking for victims. I don't play ball and I don't give out candy. I never leer at children or even stare at them, yet I never lack for victims. I've held several positions of responsibility working with the public. You probably met me and liked me. Your children have learned that I can fix a bite and will talk with them and when no one else even will listen. When mom was too busy or dad was too tired, they came to me. I know more about your children's teachers and their school's problems than you because I was interested. The two girls I molested can never regain what I've taken away from them, and I will spend 5 years in prison. I was molested as a child, and I feel certain at least 2 of my victims will grow up to be molesters as well. I am sick at heart, but the damage is done. I cannot undo it. The next time your child has something to tell you, don't be too busy to listen. Ask yourself, if I don't listen, who will? Signed, guilty and ashamed in Indiana. So I don't know the author of this poem, but this message here says it well. Take a moment to listen today to what your child is trying to say. Listen today, whatever you do, or they won't be there to listen to you. Listen to their problems. Listen to their needs. Praise their smallest triumph. Praise their smallest deeds. Tolerate their chatter. Amplify their laughter. Find out what's the matter. Find out what they're after. But tell them that you love them every single night. And though you scold them, be sure to hold them. Tell them everything's all right. Tomorrow looks bright. Take a moment to listen today to what your children are trying to say. Listen today, whatever you do, and they will come back and listen to you. Dads, are you providing security for your family? Do you dearly and truly love and cherish your wife, their mother? Do you teach them about the important things of life? Are you committed to them above all others except God Himself? If you aren't, then you haven't another day to waste. I take a piece of plastic clay and idly fashion it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, it still bore, but I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gentle formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a child's soft and yielding heart. It came again when years were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress wore, and I could change him nevermore. Dads, we need to do our part. It is up to you. We're going to sing an invitation hymn here this morning. And it's interesting, on K-Love, which is the Christian radio station here in San Antonio, they've been having a contest. I would love to win that contest. They're giving away Bristol package, racing package, and then an autographed helmet from Dale Earnhardt Jr. But the whole thing was they were asking people to give us a piece of advice that you received. And people were giving all types of things, what their dad said, what somebody they met said, and all these things. It made me start thinking. And I start thinking, he says, you know, if I was going to answer that question, the way I probably would answer it is this. The piece of advice that my dad gave me is this. It's nothing that he really said, but it's the way he lived his life. Let me tell you, he taught me how I'm supposed to love my wife. He's taught me how to live my life. He showed me by his reading of his word each and every day. He would discipline himself, and he showed me that he loved me by the way he took care of me, my brothers and my sister. If I was going to say, it's not the words that he spoke, but the way he lived his life that made the biggest impression upon me. And even though my dad is gone today, I will never, never forget what he's done for my life. And I am where I am today. It's because of the example he led in my own life. My friends, this morning we have a time of decision, and we need to make some type of choice here today. You know, if you're a dad here this morning, maybe there's some changes you need to make in your life. Maybe there's others this morning. We're going to sing a song of decision. And maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. One of the best things you can do, dads, for your family is to be a follower of Christ, that Christ is the center of your home. And maybe there's some here this morning, moms, dads, you know, male, female, whoever it is here this morning. Maybe we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Maybe we haven't done that yet. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that here this morning. Maybe there's others here that just need to make changes in your life, whatever that might be. Whatever decision you need to make, we're going to sing. And if you have a decision, come to the front. If you need to make a public decision, if you need to make a decision right where you're at, you can make that here today. You don't have to come to the front. You can do it from right where you're standing. Whatever it is, if there's changes you need to make in your life today, let's make it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.